Well, good morning. Glad you're here today to come together and to worship together. And I hope that you've come expectantly today, expecting God to not only speak something to you, but that God would put something in your heart today that maybe you didn't expect. God wants our lives to be an open book. God wants our lives to be an open book. You know, sometimes I believe that we think, even as Christians, that we can hide things from God, that we can fudge here and fudge there and hide here and hide there. And you know, God knows everything about us. He knows everything about us. He knows our thoughts before we think them. He knows our decisions before we make them. And so yet, sometimes we try to be a closed book with God. And really, the only person we're being a closed book with is ourselves, because we're not being honest with ourselves and living in the reality of that. So, He wants our lives to be an open book. He really wants us, He wants to rid us of all our hidden sin. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean, hidden sin? Oh, you know what I'm talking about. We hide things. We think we hide things from God. We hide them from each other. Dishonesty, underhandedness, deception, lying and fraud. And that, you see, that's why the Holy Spirit searches out everything in us that's not of Christ, that's not of God. And if we really want to change, we'll open up to His dealings, to the Holy Spirit's dealings with us. Well, you think, well, I don't lie. Well, have you ever told half-truths? You know, have you embellished things a little beyond what they really are? You know, a half-truth is not a truth at all. Dishonesty? Well, I'm not dishonest. Well, I might fudge on my taxes a little bit to get a little extra break. So, is a little dishonest not dishonest? Underhandedness, deception, doing things with the wrong motive. How about fraud? Well, I'm not a fraud. I don't defraud anyone. I don't cheat people out of anything. Oh, what about pretending to be somebody or something you're not? You see, we have these hidden sins that God wants us to be an open book to Him. Do we gossip? You see, when we become an open book to Him, we release ourselves and we open ourselves up to have Him deal with us and to allow Him to deal with those things that are not of Him. You see, you can forget about counseling, seeking self-help, or restoring relationships until you experience God's change in these areas of our lives. Put everything on the back burner until you're ready to renounce all your hidden sin. When you've submitted to God's Word and the transforming power of His Holy Spirit, you won't have to convince others you've changed. As you walk in His truth, the Holy Spirit will commend you to the consciences of those around you. Have you ever had someone walk into a room and you just sensed God all over them? Just a spiritual presence on their life, and they were just smiling and talking normal? You see, God will do that when we become an open book and allow Him to transform us through His Spirit. You won't have to convince anybody you're a good Christian or even a Christian at all. because the Spirit of God will convey that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is writing his second letter to the church at Corinth. And in verse 17, 2 Corinthians 3, beginning in 17, it says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty," or freedom. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Do you have freedom today in the Spirit of the Lord? Has He set you free? He wants to set you free. That's why God wants us to be an open book. For that reason there, so that the Spirit can dwell and move and be released in us in all His power to set us free. Verse 18 says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Here's the point. God wants our life to be unveiled before Him. God wants our life to be unveiled before Him. You know, sometimes you think of a bride that comes into a wedding with a veil. And then at some point during the ceremony, the veil is lifted and folded back. You know, that's what God wants us to do with our lives. He just wants us to unveil our lives before Him. Take away this false curtain that we think we hide behind. When we do things that aren't pleasing to Him, or we say things that aren't pleasing to Him, and we try to deceive ourselves. God wants our life to be unveiled before Him. In chapter 4 here, in verse 2, He says, "Having renounced the hidden sins, the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, or believe in Him or not, He died for you." He died for you. And then the word says, so that the reason He died is so that those who live in this life, in the flesh, in the body, breathing, in human form, those who live no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them. Are you living for yourself? As you sit here today, are you willing to be an open book and let the Holy Spirit assess your life? Say, are you living for Him? Are you living for self? Who are you living for? Your goals, your dreams, your visions, your recognition. Now, all those things, it's good to have goals and dreams and visions of things. But is that what you're living for? The Word says we don't live for ourselves. We live for Him. It's a sacrifice. It's called sacrifice. We sacrifice sometimes in order to live for Him. Sometimes it requires us to sacrifice what we want to live for. Sacrifice what we dreamed of. What we want to accomplish. Yeah, that's tough. But it just depends on circumstances, situation. But sometimes it requires us to let go of what we hoped for because it will interfere with what He wants us to live for. It keeps us from living for Him. And believe me, and we all know it, doesn't the world offer so many things to live for other than Jesus? I mean, it really does. There's a lot of pleasure out there. There's a lot of fun out there. And pleasure and fun is okay in balance, in proper ways and places. But there's so much that draws us away. The Bible says no one comes to God unless the Spirit draws him. Is the Spirit drawing you? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about, because this was written to the church, I'm talking about as a believer, as Christ, Is the Spirit still drawing you closer to Him? Closer to Him? So you can be unveiled? Now is the time to give all your circumstances over to God and into His hands as believers. You know, I often wonder why there's so many empty seats in church on Sunday morning. Not just this church, a lot of churches. And yet there's some churches that there's not an empty seat. What's the difference? What's the difference with the churches with a lot of empty seats as you look around and churches that you got to look and to find an empty seat? The difference is the Spirit is still drawing. I believe the difference is there's a lot of people with their lives are open books and the Spirit's still drawing. And because the Spirit, as Paul says, they don't have to impress people. The Spirit that's moving through them are drawing others to Him. That's how God does it. His Spirit draws others through other believers and directly. Listen, forget trying to be delivered out of your crisis. Instead, focus on what God wants to change in you as He makes you an overcomer. We all have crises in our lives, right? Right? Anybody crisis-free forever? Never had a crisis? Well, hang on, there's one coming. It'll get here. Instead of focusing on the crisis, focus on God. What am I to learn here? What am I to learn through this? What do you want to change in me? What do I need to do to be an overcomer? How do I need to open my life to You? What do I need to renounce in my life that maybe caused this crisis or allowed this crisis or that You want to use this crisis to show me that I need to renounce and get rid of, be freed from? The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. That's what He wants to do in believers. That's what releases the power of God in the church and in the community. And that's what draws people to the church body, the body of Christ, and draws them to God, is the Spirit of God in the people of God, empowering and moving and overflowing. Stay in His Word. Call on His name. Trust in the Holy Spirit. Trust the Holy Spirit to reveal to you things that are not of God. Let's pray together. As you're praying here today, I want to ask you a question. If God's Spirit has spoken to your heart today through His Word or just through His presence, are you ready? As you sit here today praying, are you ready to start living for God instead of yourself? Are you ready to put the things of God ahead of things you want? Don't answer that quickly. We might all like to say, yeah, I want to do that. But there's a cost to that. It's called sacrifice. There's a cost to putting the things of God ahead of your things. The desires of God ahead of your desire. So the question is, are you ready to start living for God instead of self? Every day, not just on Sunday when you come in here. Because you see, it's easy to live for God when we're in here together. But what about when you hit the street out there? What about when you hit home where things are not so good? I want to ask you this morning, who here today wants this to be the constant cry of your heart? Change me, oh God. Change me, oh God. Who here wants that to be the cry of your heart? I see a few hands kind of filtering up. Are you ready to submit yourself to God's will? Are you ready to renounce the things in your life that are not of God, not of Christ? If you are, I want you to come to the front with me. I want to pray a scripture over you, pray a prayer with you. If you're ready for change me, God, to be the cry of your heart, just slip out and come on down front right now. I'm going to share a scripture with you, and I'm going to pray over you. God, I want your will in my life. I'm ready to renounce the things in my life that are not of you. This is going to change your life if you brought your heart here to Him, and it's going to change this church. David wrote in the Psalms when he was repenting from his sin and asking God to clean him up. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, God, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." If that's your desire this morning, I want you to just pray this prayer with me. Just pray after me. Father God, and in your seats, if you want to pray this prayer, you can. Father God, I trust you. I ask you to forgive me for the hidden sins in my life. I bring my heart to you today. Bring you my life as an open book for you to see, for you to move in, for you to cleanse and change. I pray, Father God, the cry of my heart, O God, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit. Renew in me the joy of my salvation. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that your presence moves, lives in me and changes me, empowers me. Father, I pray and I desire to be a witness for you. Only by the power of your Spirit, not by words, not by actions, but by your presence in me. Thank you, Father, for cleansing me, for renewing your Spirit in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. You may have a seat. My desire is to please God. I don't always do that. I want to, though. And by His Spirit, by His power, I can and you can. My desire is to see people come in here in these services and have to look and hunt for a seat. Not to have a crowd to preach to, but to know that the Spirit of God is moving and making a difference in people's lives. In the lives of the people in Heartcry, because when He makes a difference in our lives, then He'll make a difference in others. As the Scripture says, we won't have to impress anybody. The Spirit of God will impress them through us without ever speaking a word. Just living our life in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and living in the Spirit. I hope that becomes your desire, because I know that's God's desire. If we're living right before God and with God, if we're sharing the love of Christ through our lives by the way we live our lives, I don't believe we have buildings big enough to hold people. There's people in this world wanting, desiring the real things of God. And if the church doesn't show it, it won't be shown. Ushers, if you'll come and prepare to receive the offerings and the tithes. Father, I thank You today for Your presence, for Your word, for Your Holy Spirit, for truth that lives and moves and changes, empowers, saves, and gives life forever. Thank You for the opportunity, God, to worship You and to trust You with our tithes and our offerings, to trust You with our finances, to trust You with our resources, to trust You and to depend on You, God, for our provision and our protection. God, we know that everything we have, everything that we are, and everything that we can be and will have comes from You. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.